Ahoy there! Well, my last blog, I had my leg in plaster. Well, that didn't last long. I've got a busted Achilles tendon, in case you've just come in to this little series, and it happened on a bit of an incident with a motorbike, about which the Lee said soonest mended. But a week after I'd had the plaster on, they called me back into hospital and chopped it off, had a look at it, and said, yeah, well, you'll do, you're getting on well. And they put me in a sort of moon boot thing. It's an amazing piece of kit, this. It's a sort of plastic boot that you put on the back of your leg, and then you strap another bit on the front, tighten up the great big Velcro straps, and then you got a little air pump, and you pump air into it to give you just the support you feel you need. And with that done, you can't walk on it, but you can walk quite nicely on crutches, and it's okay to put it down so long as you don't put too much weight on it. So I'm reasonably mobile now, but I've got to say, I'm not getting around very much because I've got an infection in the wound now, and so I'm a bit laid up, really. But it will come to pass. And meanwhile, I'm thinking about the last episode of this report on my trip to Greenland this summer with my mate Ian, who was the skipper, and my son-in-law Dan, who came with us along to make sure Ian and I didn't get into trouble. We left you in front of the great big glacier right up the top of Scoresby Sound, and huge berg came off it, and I was just gobsmacked really by what I was seeing, the wonder of creation. And we continued in this vein for a few more days. We circumnavigated Denmark Island, which probably hasn't been done by very many people, because it's only really recently that the ice has thinned out sufficiently in these places for you to be able to navigate. There was one other yacht in the air. It was an Irish yacht, and he actually managed to get round Milnland, which is a great big island, which is adjacent to the one we went round, and that was a fantastic effort. But we had a good time too. We surveyed a rock which has hitherto been uncharted, and we surveyed a couple of skerries and some shoals and did a bit of useful work, really. And then we went back to Scoresby Sound, where we went ashore, made friends with some Inuit, and Ian made friends with a team of husky dogs, which looked more like wolves to me. I was very uneasy about them, but Ian's a bit of a dog whisperer, and they had real respect for the guy. It was amazing. So I decided I'd look on him in a different light after that, and we stayed in the settlement for a day, went back to our anchorage, and then we thought we'd better clear out, because the year was getting on. The long-term weather prognosis, such as we could get it, didn't look great. We thought we'd better get back to Iceland as soon as we could, which, well, with a bit of luck, would be a three-day trip. And so it turned out, but I've got to hand it to Ian, you know, as a skipper. He knows that when you've got to go, you've got to go. When you're used to sailing with a crew you're trying to look after, you very often you say, well, we'll have all night in tonight, and then we'll get off to sea in the morning and see how we get on. We'll start fresh. Well, not Ian, mate. What he does, at 10 o'clock at night, we're looking at the weather, it doesn't look too bad, he says, come on, lads, let's go. And off we go. Mind you, it's not getting very dark, but it just was starting to get twilight then. And we're 70 degrees north, and we are, well, we're not quite at the equinox, but it is starting to get dark. So in the night, it gets down to about twilight, and we set off. And it was absolutely lovely to start off with. We cruised across Scoresby Sound from the settlement to the to Cape Brewster, which is the southern entry point. We've got good visibility, really, but out to sea we can see the fog banks out there. And as we approached Cape Brewster, it dumped on us, and the wind picked up. And, of course, it didn't pick up from where we wanted it. It was forward of the beam. In fact, it was probably a close-hauled heading to where we were going. We're motor sailing. And the wind picked up and up and up, and soon it was blowing not far short of gale force. And the seas built up with very great rapidity. The seas in the Denmark Strait have been, that summer in my experience, were just horrible. It was rough the whole time. And this particular night was spectacularly so. The radar was not picking up any ice because the sea was too rough. We had 15-foot seas running, I would say, very, very short and steep, and some of them breaking, and gale-force winds. And the lads had to go out on deck to shorten the sail down, get the main down to minimum reef, get rid of the mizzen, and make sure the genoa was safely stowed. A nasty moment, because the deck's not the easiest place to move around on this boat. And I was left steering, as befitted my station as the oldest guy on board. But It became very clear to me immediately that what I had to do was basically dodge these seas. I had to treat the vessel like a fishing boat and go into survival mode, and we were heading up into the seas, but not quite so high as to let the mainsail flog, because if that had happened and they were working on it, goodness knows what would have come to pass. So I kept the mainsail just off full and kept the boat heading up into the seas, and she went up and down, like going up and down an escalator. And all around, in the fog, was ice. We didn't know where it was. We couldn't see it. We just had to look out all the time. The boys were looking into the gale, ice in their eyes, up on deck, and I'm down below seeing what I could see. And, well, they got back in one piece. We squared away for Iceland and pressed on. But all through the next 2 days, we had to have two out of the three of us on watch at any one time, because it was fog the whole way. And the fog could not be seen on the radar until later on. Once we were about 24 hours out, we started to see through the fog with the radar. Things started to settle down, the sea went down, and things became less stressful. The sea temperature rose, and when we were about halfway home, Ian stood us down and said, well, that's it, we can have normal watches now. But by that time we were exceedingly tired, very tired indeed, because it was, well, pretty extreme really. At one point, when I was off watch, the lads saw a growler go by, well, a couple of boat's lengths to starboard, and Dan said to me that it was the size of a car, just rolling and pitching in the sea with the sea breaking over it as we went past. So it showed that we were absolutely right. That watch had to be kept. It was not popular, but Ian stuck with it, and he was dead right. And that's the message, really. We got back to Iceland. The fog lifted when we were about 70, 80 miles short of Iceland, and as soon as the fog lifted, the great mountains of Iceland came up over the horizon ahead to the south, and as we pressed on, they slowly, slowly grew. But with things of that magnitude, it takes an awful long time to get anywhere. But finally, another day later, we pulled into Ísafjörður, and we were very, very glad to be there. What a trip, never to be forgotten. Nothing's easy in this life, and sometimes the more you put in, the more you get out. And this was the prime example.